Good evening. Tonight's scriptural reading will come from Hebrews 5, verse 7. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. You may be seated.
Before I get started tonight, I want to pass along this note from Sister Janaea. Her and Caleb and Christian are going to be leaving for D.C. on June the 24th. Janaea has been conducting a camp there all summer for several years. It's a very good camp in many respects. And she says Melvin is going to be preaching at Lightwood next Sunday. And this is going to be the last Sunday that her and the boys will be here until the end of July. We want to pray for their safety as they travel. We want to pray for the success of what she does and the staff, and that they'll be diligent in sharing God's word when they have opportunities. So we want to wish them well, and hopefully, as usual, these two months will fly by, and they'll be back here before we know it. There are three instances in the Bible where the Word of God records the fact that Jesus shed tears. One of those cases is when his friend Lazarus had died. And the shortest verse in all the Bible, John 11 and verse 35, says Jesus wept. We also can observe that Jesus wept in regard to the human suffering that he was going to have to endure during and before his death on Calvary's cross. The scripture reading tonight, Hebrews 5 and verse 7, says about our Lord, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying unto him who was able to save him from death. The third occasion where it is said that our Lord cried would be when he made that triumphal entry into Jerusalem. In Luke 19 and verse 41, the Bible says, when Jesus was come near and he beheld the city of Jerusalem, the Bible says he wept over it. Now, to me, there's no characteristic in the life of our Lord that's more revealing than the fact that our Lord was willing and was able to shed tears in many instances. You know, weeping or crying is a lot like smiling, isn't it? It's a universal language. You know, we can go in our world today and we run into those language barriers, those communication barriers. But I think there's two things that everybody can understand no matter where you live in our world. One of those is a smile. The other is tears. And we need to understand tonight that even though our Lord was completely divine, 100% God, he was also 100% human as well. And tonight what I wanted us to do briefly is to look at these three instances of where the Bible says that our Lord wept, our Lord cried or shed tears. And I want to look, based upon these ideas, at some principles that can encourage us and help us in living the Christian life. First of all, I want us to observe that our Lord is said to have cried, to have shed tears when one very near and dear to him passed from this life. The Bible declares in John 11:35, Jesus wept. Now, why did our Lord cry? Why did our Lord shed tears? Well, the grim reaper death had come and touched one that was very near and dear to the Son of God. Death had taken away one that was very near to our Lord. In John 11 and verse 5, we observe there how that Jesus loved Martha. He loved Mary, her sister. He loved Lazarus. In fact, the Bible says the Lord was very close to that family. He visited in their home on many occasions. He was always made to feel welcome there. These three individuals, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, were very close to the Lord. Now in John 11 and verse 3, therefore his sisters, that is the sisters of Lazarus, sin unto the Lord, saying, Behold, the one whom you love is sick. Talking about Lazarus. Lazarus is in serious condition. Lazarus is going to die, they said, and unless something is done and done quickly. We want you to know about that. But Jesus delayed his coming to see Lazarus, even though he knew that Lazarus was sick. In John 11 and verse 6, the Bible says, When Jesus had therefore heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 days in the same place where he was. And Jesus said in John 11 and verse 15, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent that you might believe. The Lord seems to be saying here, Listen, my brethren, my followers, my disciples, for your sakes, I am glad that I was not there, that I stayed where I was for those 2 days. And I want you to know, he seems to be saying that as the result of the death of Lazarus and the coming resurrection of the one who's a friend of mine, I want your faith to be strengthened and made strong. You know, the Lord's disciples and the bereaved family, Mary and Martha, they just couldn't understand why it was the Lord took so much time in getting there. In John 11 and verse 32, when Martha was come to Jesus and saw him, she fell down at his feet. She said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, how would that make you feel? You know, if you showed up when you were supposed to show up, Lord, my brother would not have passed away. Jesus said to her, Your brother is going to rise again. Martha said, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Now we ought to realize that Jesus was touched. Jesus was emotionally touched by the weeping of those whom he loved so dearly. In John 11 and verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. And then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. Now let's just think for a moment, if you will, at why our Lord may have cried and shed tears on that day. I think there were some strong emotions behind that weeping. I think one key is found in verse 33, where the Bible says here that Jesus groaned in spirit. Now that word groan there means sometimes to be moved with a mild type of anger and indignation. Evidently, our Lord was somewhat disgusted at his own disciples and even his own friends, because obviously they thought that Jesus now could do absolutely nothing about Lazarus being dead. Now, if he had come 2 days earlier like he should have, maybe he could have done something. But now it's too late. Certainly, I think our Lord just wept out of sheer human emotion. He wept. He cried. It was an expression of calm, gentle sympathy for one that he loved so very dearly. And I think we can learn and realize from this part of God's Word that Jesus is going to be there with us in our times of bereavement. Jesus understands when we go through difficulties. Our Lord understands when we have to deal with the losses that come our way in life, when we have to lay to rest one that has meant so much to us here upon this earth. Our Lord knows and our Lord cares. The psalmist said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." He said, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you," 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. And so we need to learn from our Lord's weeping on this occasion that he's concerned about us when we, because of our emotions, are led to weep and shed tears. In fact, I believe our Lord is the example that we ought to follow when it comes to showing compassion toward other people. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 15, we're told to rejoice with those that rejoice, to weep with those that weep. And if our Lord wept with his friends, if our Lord shed tears of sympathy and pain and sorrow with those that he loved, then surely we ought to be able to do the same things toward those that we love in times of sadness and disappointment and discouragement. If our Lord was willing to show compassion and shed tears when there was hurt among those that he loved, surely we need to do the same thing. In the second place tonight, the Bible also talks about Jesus weeping and shedding tears of human agony because of the suffering that he was going to endure. To me, one of the most touching verses in all the Bible is Hebrews 5 and verse 7. There the Bible says about Jesus, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. It wasn't just tears here that our Lord shed. The Bible says it was strong crying. It was almost inconceivable that one could cry this hard. And we don't know exactly when it was that our Lord cried in regard to his suffering. The four gospel accounts don't tell us exactly and precisely when our Lord shed the tears that the Hebrew writer here describes as having taken place during the time of his death. But I think we certainly find some implications here. You know, there in the garden, we read in Matthew 26 and verse 37, "And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. He said to them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." And no doubt the Lord may have very well shed tears there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Or you think about our Lord as he was there on the cross, suspended between heaven and earth. There he bore your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world on that cross. You consider all the suffering that he endured. And there he cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" These verses here seem to imply that at least for a short time, our Lord was forsaken by his Father. God evidently withdrew all divine help from the Son of God so that Jesus might bear our sins, that he might suffer completely as a man alone, that we might enjoy the forgiveness of sins. Peter said in 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, he said, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. He did no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself unto him who judges righteously, who is in his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we might be dead to sin, that we should live under righteousness, by whose stripes are ye healed. You see, Jesus, his own self, by himself, forsaken by God, suffered on Calvary that we might be forgiven. You know, why did our Lord have to suffer anyway? Why did he have to go through that awful death on the cross? Why should the Lord have to suffer to the extent that he cried and shed tears because of the intense pain he was going to endure? No doubt it was because our Lord needed to be able to sympathize when we suffer and hurt. That's why the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 2 and verse 4, "For then as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same." We ought to realize that, you know, we're going to suffer if we're Christians. Our Lord suffered, and Jesus said, "The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they'll also persecute you." And oftentimes, as Christians, we're going to be called upon to suffer. We're going to have to go through some difficult and tragic happenings in our lives. It may be that some of us are going to have to suffer through some extreme physical pain and anguish. You know, we can see the pain and anguish and, you know, what older people have to experience from time to time as they grow older and draw nearer to death. Maybe it's other kinds of suffering, emotionally, disappointments, heartaches that we have to deal with. But the Bible says in 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, "If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." You know, the Bible indicates that suffering helps to try, it helps to prove, it helps to test the faith that we have in Jehovah God. Suffering helps determine whether or not I, as a disciple, am the genuine article. If I'm truly following Jesus, I will endure those tests. The Bible says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. James 1 and verse 3. And so we ought to realize that Jesus Christ is our example when it comes to suffering. Jesus Christ shed tears of agony, strong crying, because of the intense suffering he endured. He hurt just like we hurt. And he hurt so much that he literally cried and shed tears. But not only did our Lord weep and cry during his own suffering, not only did our Lord shed tears when one so near and dear to him died and left this life, but the Bible also describes our Lord as weeping on another occasion, and that is when our Lord made that entry into Jerusalem. He wept, he shed tears during the triumphal entry. You know, the Lord looked at the city of Jerusalem, and the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 19, verse 41, that he beheld the city and he wept over it. Now, why would our Lord be so concerned about a city like Jerusalem that he would actually weep and shed tears over it? Would it not be because these Jews there in Jerusalem, God's chosen people, they had rejected the prophets through the centuries? They had even killed the very prophets that had foretold of the Lord's coming. In Matthew 22 and verse 37, or chapter 23 and verse 37, Jesus said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou which killest the prophets and stones them which are sent unto you, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, but you would not. Oh, how I wanted to save you. Oh, how I've done everything that I know to do to provide salvation for you, but you are unwilling. Was it not true that our Lord wept over Jerusalem because most of those who were Jews had rejected Jesus Christ? Now you think about our Lord for just a minute. He knew who he was. Our Lord knew he was the Son of God, the Savior of the world. He knew that he was the only one that could bring those people salvation. All the blood of all the animals that had been offered down through the centuries of time couldn't take away one sin. And our Lord wept because those to whom he was sent, those in Jerusalem, had rejected him. John 1 verse 11 says he came into his own. His own received him not. Now, I want you to understand that these folks in Jerusalem were very, very religious. They believed in going to church. They believed in going to the synagogue. But they would not follow the divine requirements of Jehovah God. Jesus would even say about those people in Matthew 15 and verse 8, "This people draw near to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." And yes, when our Lord saw people like that, he literally wept because of their lost and undone condition. And no doubt our Lord wept over that city because of the immense hypocrisy that existed, even among those that were the rulers, those that were the religious leaders of the people. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37, our Lord issued that scathing rebuke of those leaders. He said, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are likened unto whited sepulchres that appear beautiful on the outside, but within you are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you likewise appear righteous unto men, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity." That whole chapter is a scathing rebuke of the hypocrisy that existed among those people. And those words were spoken just after our Lord made his entry into Jerusalem. You know, I think it's significant that one of the times our Lord shed tears was because people were lost. Our Lord observed people reject him as the Savior. And I can't help but wonder sometimes as our Lord looks down upon this earth, as he observes us today, as he looks at the world in which we live, could it be that our Lord is crying again because of the iniquity and the sinful condition that prevails among humanity? Did you realize today that only 17% of all Americans, just 17%, attend church? That's it. We are vastly becoming a non-religious country. 17% of Americans attend church somewhere. Sometimes we wonder how it got to be over in Europe that those massive and beautiful cathedrals are now empty, practically on days when people should be assembling to worship God. I wonder if our Lord doesn't weep over the progression of atheism in our land today. I wonder if that doesn't break the heart of God's Son. You think about the increase in crime rate, the drug use that is so prevalent in our nation today. You think about all the immoral conduct that seems to be accepted all around us, the push to legitimize homosexuality and same-sex marriage. We think about the 500, or should say the 60, almost 60 million babies that have been killed since abortion was legalized in the early 1970s. This happens in a so-called Christian nation every year. I wonder if the Lord still does not shed tears when He sees the lost condition of so many people in our world. And even closer to home, I wonder if the Lord does not weep and maybe shed tears when He sees the condition of His own body, the church of our Lord. In many places, it's evident that the world is getting into the Lord's church. And yet we're admonished to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So many times we see the world getting into the church. We see the dress that is prevalent among those that are called on to be distinct from those in the world. Dress that brings reproach upon Jesus Christ. You think about the language, the talk that many times those in the church even engage in. There's a little difference between that and what goes in the world. Think about the places we go, the things that we do. What about our hypocrisy? You know, we come and we worship God on Sunday, but does Christianity make a difference in our lives on Monday through Saturday? What about the lukewarmness, the attitude of unconcern that sometimes is prevalent among those who are members of the church? Jesus said, I wish you were cold or hot, but because you're lukewarm, I'll spew or I'll vomit you out of my mouth, Revelation 3:15-16. Do you think the Lord, as He looks down on us, could He be crying because of our seeming attitude of being unconcerned about doing what we ought to do as Christians? Does He look at my life? Does He look at your life sometimes and He sheds tears because of our behavior and what He observes us doing on a daily basis? I just believe that we in the Lord's church need to understand these situations where the Bible says our Lord shed tears. I want to ask you tonight, as we kind of bring this lesson to a close, are you concerned when there's someone near to you or that you know who's experiencing loss, pain, or grief? Are you one that's willing to suffer, just like our Lord suffered, when we have to experience the various pains of life? Do we murmur? Do we complain? Or do we try to bring glory to God even in difficult circumstances? Do we shed tears tonight over those that are lost? Does it concern you tonight as you look around this auditorium and there are those that you know that should be in these pews, but somehow over time they lost their commitment, their zeal, their dedication to God. Now they've become unfaithful. They're no longer worshiping God. They no longer claim to really be serving God. Are we concerned about their lost condition? When we get up tomorrow and go about our everyday activities, are we concerned like the Lord was over the lost condition of that coworker or that friend or that neighbor? Do we really understand that that individual, unless he obeys the gospel, is going to be lost, that he continues to live his life without hope on a daily basis unless we are willing to intervene and share the good news of salvation? I just hope tonight that we can think about the tears that our Lord shed. And I hope we can leave here tonight with a sense of urgency about our duties and our responsibilities, not only to live in a way that would glorify God ourselves, but also to fulfill our debt and our obligation to those who are lost and without hope in this world. Maybe tonight the Lord is shedding tears over your lost condition. Maybe you haven't yet made that decision to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what you need to do, don't you? You know you have faith in the Son of God, but are you tonight willing to repent of your sins? Are you willing to step into the waters of baptism tonight, knowing that that act of baptism will put you into contact with the blood of Jesus? Are you willing to do that tonight? If there are things that maybe you need to correct tonight, if there are things that are standing between you and being right with God, are there those things tonight that you need to make sure is right with God? We're here for you. We care about you and want to pray for you if you have a need. And so tonight, if you're subject to the invitation, we ask that you come now while we stand and sing.